From Buenos Aires, Argentina, I'm Paige Nichols, and this is Bad Information, a love letter to the country that drives us mad. And it's just family tonight.
Just family.
It's just me and my little ghost friend Marcos for a special episode. A fireside chat, if you will. And the fire is just the world burning around us. There is no fireplace here because we can't afford it.
Top three drag queens and why they're your favorites.
Oh my God. Sasha Velour, because I just love that she says, like, be the strange you wish to see in the world. I saw her. There was like a year where like all of the drag queens came to Argentina and I saw all of them and it was so great. I love Sasha Velour. I love a bald queen. I love that she's just like brilliant and esoteric and super arty and like kind of non-traditional in that sense. Like, love her. I feel like she's a very tender soul, very beautiful person. So love her. I love Alyssa Edwards.
Who doesn't?
I mean, yeah, like, come on. Like, Alyssa Edwards is amazing. Like, she's ultimate showwoman, so funny.
She's the best, yes.
She's the hardest working woman in show business. Like, I cannot get enough of her. And then I feel like, I mean, there's so many at this point.
But we went to her show.
And right? And I saw her. Remember, I was going to the bathroom and I saw her leave in her little, like, turban hat?
Alyssa?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Bianca.
Oh.
You don't like Bianca.
It's like my chair made a noise. No, I like Bianca Del Rio. I like a smart queen. I like a comedy queen. I love that kind of cutting humor. But Bianca's show was less than, it was underwhelming.
Yeah.
First of all, she made a lot of like anti-lesbian comments, which we did not like. It was rough. And I felt it felt very scripted and weird. It was, yes. It was too scripted. And I was looking for more like a off the cuff kind of vibe. So we've got Sasha, Alyssa, and then I don't know. I mean, Detox did a great show when she came to Buenos Aires.
I love Detox. Yeah,
I think I love Detox because she's kind of like this mix of like party fun, but also like really like funny and quick and like a great show woman. That show was incredible when she did her Evita. Like,
she cried. It was so
that glorious. Was like, that was incredible. But then, for example, when we saw the Work the World tour here,
I didn't.
So. And it was like all the queens came and Violet Chachki closed. And like, I was kind of like, I mean, I like her, but I didn't dislike her, but maybe wasn't in my top. But her performance, which was like this kind of, you know, burlesque thing, like blew my mind on like femininity. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was definitely like a sort of a mini transformation moment where I was like, holy shit, like, this is incredible. But I also love, like, I love Alaska. I mean, at this point, there's so many.
Oh my God. Going into details about your divorce and the process of it in Argentina from that weird ass guy.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. There's a man who I don't know who loves to ask me this question or a form of this question. Like, not even like a, hey, will you talk about what it's like getting divorced? Or like, how has it been or whatever? It's just like, tell us about your divorce and go into detail. Like,
and that weird message he sent you, like,
he sent me a message where it was like, I listened to your latest podcast. It wasn't good for me. I don't speak Spanish. Yeah. And it's like, no one asked you. I would just like, I'm glad you left this in because it's, first of all, like, I don't owe you anything. And I talk about a lot of my private life because, I mean, to a point, but there are some things that I don't need to share with anyone, let alone you. You are not entitled to my privacy. So, like, get over it. And, like, I don't understand what your, like, kink is with my divorce, but, like, literally, if I'm going to tell anyone, it's not going to be you. So, like, get a hobby. Like, literally get a hobby. And, like, I wish you didn't have access to the internet. Like, I wish someone would take your phone away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was so weird. What was your first screen name? And what weird AIM behaviors did you do in like 1998?
Oh my God, I love this. So my first screen name, so I was a big, okay, like, first of all, I'm 30, almost 37. So I'm chronically online. Like, I've been online for as long as you can imagine. And yes, we used AIM in the US. We didn't have ICQ or MSN. That was like not a thing. And my first screen name was because I was a huge fan of the show Jackass.
Yeah.
Remember that? Johnny Knoxville.
Yep.
And one of my favorite skits was when he wears like a Speedo, like a Sunga, and they cover in bees. And so it was the Bikini.
Oh my God.
So my screen name was Bikini, like B-E-E, 109, because 109 was like my, like, favorite number. I don't know why.
Like, so random.
09. So that was my first screen name. And obviously it was like uppercase, lowercase, like so cringe. And in terms of like weird behaviors, I definitely like, we were like considering like, we have like helicopter parents, like as millennials, more or less. We were like deeply unsupervised on the internet. And like, we would go into like a lot of chat rooms and just like fuck around. Like, creepy men, obviously, probably all of them. And we were just like, la, 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 like ASL, like age sex location. And just like fuck around on like the family computer until it was like time for dinner. So like, I don't know. I mean, I think I probably like catfished a few people like for a few hours. You know what I mean? Not like a sustained like thing, but probably just being like, yeah, I'm from California. And it's like, hey, like whatever.
And I'm blonde and have big tits. What's your favorite possession? Bonus points if it is a useless knickknack.
My favorite possession. Oh, you know, as like a hoarder, I'm like a...
But your house is like pretty clean, put together.
I'm very organized and I'm very like prolija, but I have a tendency to like... Like, I want to be a minimalist, but I have this, like, maximalist kind of...
Not with that souvenir from Mar del Plata.
Yeah. My favorite possession is my Mar del Plata Lobo Marinos. Actually, this is up there. Like, you've earned your, like, you went straight to the top.
Awesome.
Like, truly. Oh, this is tough because I have a lot of... I assign a lot of deep emotional value to my possessions, and I surround myself only with things that I love and that I think are beautiful. I wouldn't count Pocho as a possession because, like, he's a living being.
You're a Pocho's possession, by the way.
Yeah. This is tough.
Like that beautiful rug that you have. Well, it's not a knickknack.
Yeah, it's not. Well, knickknack. I mean, this is a knickknack. This, like,
I mean, the question is, what's your favorite possession? Bonus points if it's a useless knickknack. Like, you have a beautiful rug.
I do have a beautiful rug that I waited like 4 months to be made from Elementos Argentinos. It's stunning. It's like fuchsia and orange and black and yellow. It's so incredible. That I do love that. I'm very proud of that. This is tough. This is like so hard for me because it's like choose one. It's like I cannot choose. I do love. I have a nice little collection of antique sifones. I do love a sifon, so I have like a deep self spot because to me it's very like combines my love of
what's a sifon for
a sifon is I'm like
speakers.
The old seltzer bottles, which nowadays, you know, like they're plastic, but back in the day they were this beautiful glass and they had lead taps, and every company had its own design and own color, so you would know like which was which. And so there are some really beautiful ones that are like so intricately designed and like just really stunning. And so I have a small collection of those that I love, and I feel like it's a very representative icon of Argentina. So I think that that's like maybe one of my favorite things.
We do love Sola.
We do love our Sola. And then I have, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of the things that I bought for my house, like when I moved.
But what about that coffee set that you...
Well, that's brand new. This is brand new.
But it's not new.
No, of course. Well, no. So it's from 1976. So one of my favorite new possessions that I've wanted for so long was an early birthday gift. And it is a 1976 original coffee set. It's bright red. It was designed by Pino Spagnolo.
So good.
For this Italian firm, Briese or something like that. And it is just like perfection. Like I love anything like mid-century.
Yeah.
And just that kind of, I love Italian design. I just have like such a boner for like all those little things. So I love like chrome and glass. I love like lucite.
Are you going to use it?
Duh. You're going to come over and we're going to have Sancho de Amiga. We're going to have Sancho de Amiga from Dos Escudos and we're going to drink a little cafecito. And it's, I know, because I was like, this is almost like too beautiful to use.
Yeah, it's too beautiful.
I love objects that are like useful, but also aesthetic.
Yeah.
I got this great mirror. It's massive and it's German from the 30s and it's reverse painted and it has this like kind of nature scene. And I got to this great store in Buenos Aires called Tito Livio, and it's like a full
treasure
trove.
That's from Tito Livio? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That explains a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, they have a great curation and it was like not expensive. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I think like, you know, I have these great churba lamps that I got my bedside, and my living room. I have these great, well, it's in my old house that I'm still like fighting over, but this beautiful rug, this like huge Quilom rug. I just love things that have like history and texture and color. And like, I get so sad when I see a house that has like you can't tell who the person is who lives there. Yeah. Like it can be a different style to mine, but like, I just love, I love that everything in my house has like a story behind it or a reason. Like I love my Barbie pink bar cart. I got that before Barbiecore became a thing, snapped it up. I was like, that's fun. I want things that either like are fun, just like that make me happy. So when I look at them,
that says something about you.
Yeah.
What about a knickknack?
The Lobo Marino from Mar del Plata.
That's a very well designed piece of shit.
That's an icono nacional y popular. My favorite little knickknack. I did make when I went to Salta. No, I went to Jujuy, sorry, on like a press trip, and we did a ceramics class, and I made a llama. I made a ceramic llama, and it turned out really well, and I'm proud of that because it reminds me of when I was young. I was like really artistic and really into being creative, and I wanted to be an artist, and I kind of let that slide. So it's a bit of a reminder of that, like, I'm talented, and it was a good moment of my life.
Today, you're giving a lot of like pottery teacher vibes.
Like Lydia Tarr after she gets fired.
Yeah.
From, yeah.
How old is Pocho? Pocho doesn't age. I don't
know. Pocho is eternal.
Yeah.
So I adopted him 9 years ago during the Mundial 2014.
Oh my God.
He's called Pocho because Pocho Lavesi, the girl who rescued him off the street, gave him that name, and I couldn't change it. And now he's Pocho forever.
Serie peli favoritas.
Okay, this is tough. Well, tough because, like, again, I can't make a choice.
Sorry for whoever made this question.
No, it's okay. Like, favorite TV shows and favorite movies. So Seinfeld, I think, is like one of my first, an OG, like what to prove that when I moved to Argentina in 2008, when I moved back in like my very limited luggage, I brought the entire series of Seinfeld on DVD. I thought that was like, that was a smart use of my space. So that says a lot. I'm also, a huge fan of like Paquita Salas. Who doesn't love Paquita? So Paquita, Seinfeld. I mean, there's so many good shows. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you say, I love TV. And it's like, well, what do you watch? And then you're like, your mind goes blank and you're like,
Friends.
I don't know. No, I don't like Friends.
Cool.
Sorry.
Do you like Almodóvar?
Sí.
Cool.
Love Almodóvar. So with films, I love Sofia Coppola films, like Virgin Suicides. I love, I don't know, when I think of like, it also depends on the mood, right? Because sometimes you have like your comfort films. Like I love like Romy Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh my God, I love it.
Like I could watch that every day until I die. But I also love like, yeah, like Y Tu Mamá También. You know what I mean? Or like things like that. So, but I think I love a lot of independent films. Yeah. So I love, I love like The Favorite. I don't know. What else do I like?
Any Argentinian movies that you like?
My favorite Argentine movies are going to be Nueve Reinas, because I'm sorry. Like, sorry. I love it. It was my first.
It's a classic. Yes.
It's a classic. And I love Darín. I love like Baby Darín. La Ciénaga, because.
The best.
Obviously. Yes. I like Plata Dulce.
Okay. Choices.
Okay. Honestly, like, remember, I'm not from here. Okay. What movie should I like? You tell me.
Mi papá es un loco, se volvió loco, or something like that with Franchella. Esperando la Carroza. I think that's.
Oh, Esperando la Carroza. Okay. Here's the thing. So I love Esperando la Carroza, and I feel like that's such an iconic, obviously, Argentine film. But there are times when I watch it, and the shouting is like so much that it's like triggering to me because it's like they're just shouting all the time. And I love it. But yes, it's like, you have to see it. You have to watch it. Yeah. I think to understand the Argentine psyche, you have to watch Esperando la Carroza, Nueve Reinas,
Caballos Salvajes,
Relatos Salvajes.
No, Caballos
Salvajes. Y Hombre Mirando al Sudeste.
Relatos Salvajes, fuck.
It's Relatos Salvajes.
Sure.
Which, when I watched it in the theater, I didn't realize they were totally independent stories. So I was waiting for them to have a common thread, and I was disappointed the first time I watched it because I was like, why aren't they connected?
People really like Medianeras.
Oh, I Medianeras is very long.
Yeah.
And I respect like the institution that it's been created around it, but like, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like my go-to.
No,
But I think that's why, La Historia Oficial.
La Historia Oficial.
I did watch that in high school Spanish class, and I think that's a very important film to watch. So, yeah. I love how trashy the television is here. It's like so bad.
Do you like arepa and tequeños?
I don't love a tequeño, but I love an arepa like in the justa medida.
What's the justa medida for arepa? Like two?
Well, just like sometimes like it can be very like drying of the mouth. So like I like a nice arepa with like some avocado on it and some egg. Like I don't think I could have one every single day. But yeah, I love it.
Data de tu peluquería, tu pelo es un sueño.
I
mean, it is.
Aisha, well, you're going to love this because like, no me hago nada. I don't even know how to blow dry my own hair. Like, I don't know how to blow dry my hair. This is my natural hair color. I don't like, I go to sleep with my hair wet and I wake up and like go live my life.
Maybe she was born with it.
Maybe it's clinical depression. But I do go, I've been going to the same peluquera for a long time. Her name is Alba and she works at a hair salon in Retiro on Juncal y Esmeralda. And I highly recommend her, but like, I mean, I don't know who's doing this magic. I'm very low maintenance. Like I don't get my nails done. I don't really do
anything.
Because
you're a lesbian.
We got to keep them short.
Yeah. What do you do for a living?
What does she do? It's like me asking my dad still. I'm like, what is your job? It's like, I don't even know my grandparents' jobs. May they rest in peace. What do I do? Okay. Well, currently. We'll start currently because I can give you like the whole background. Well, I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy and history from Boston College. Graduated with honors. Thank you very much. But I currently work freelance as a consultant in marketing. So I'm like, consultant, marketing.
Mm-hmm. Administración de empresas.
AI, law. I don't know. No, I work as a consultant in digital marketing, like doing like content marketing, communications, social media strategy, things like that. And I also work with Wild Terrains, which is a women-run and women-fueled group travel company, which is quite cool. So the company has trips in Mexico, Portugal, France, Iceland, and Argentina. And so I run these group trips. So every year there's between...
In Argentina.
There's like, I do about 6 trips with groups of up to 12 women. And we stay, we do Mendoza, Buenos Aires, Villa Langostura. And everything we do is we support women-owned hotels and like, you know, women chefs and winemakers and creatives and designers and things like that. And so when I have those trips, but then when I'm not on a trip, you know, I'm doing my other stuff. So that's kind of like... My two things, and then I do this podcast, and then I don't know what else.
Coming
do I do?
Soon, you have a newsletter.
Oh my god! Oh, I do. Oh my god. I'm terrible at self promotion.
Weren't you good at marketing?
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, Casa de Herrero Cuchillo de Palo. So yes, and all of this. I mean, having been here for so many years and doing all these random things for other people, I've decided what better moment than to launch a newsletter because I already have a podcast, so I might as well just be in your face even more. And so coming soon, I'm going to have a bit of a newsletter which will sort of tie together all these things that I do of like. Recommendations, things happening, novedades, stuff happening in Argentina, people that I think are important to talk about, and also like helping you design the best trip of your life coming to Argentina. So like if you know anyone who's coming to BA or to Argentina and they want help putting together like a dream itinerary, I can do that for you. So
what tattoo relating to Argentine culture will you get?
Well, I have no tattoos, but if I were going to get one, I kind of want this now. I kind of want the sea lions.
Never went to Mar del Plata.
I know, guys.
You've never been to Mar del Plata.
I need to go to Mar del Plata. Like, yeah. I cannot believe I have not been. I think I would get, that's a good question. So I think a lot of the...
Choripan.
I feel like, no, I don't like choripan.
She's a lesbian.
Polémica. I like a tortilla. I mean, this is a bit cliche, but I would see myself getting like a sifón.
Yeah.
That's kind of easy. Cause I'm thinking of what tattoos well, cause the things I love the most about Argentina or Buenos Aires, it's like dog walkers. So maybe if I could get like a cool, like, cause it's hard to, you know.
No del obelisco. Can you imagine that? Like el McDonald's.
Oh my God. That would be funny. Or like, you know, Messi or my home, Dibu. I would something maybe with dogs or maybe like, I don't know. Yeah. I think the first thing that comes to mind is a sifón, but only just because I feel like that's sort of like that makes sense. Because like, or maybe the outline of like a mozo de carrera. Like a mozo from La Rambla with like his bow tie and his thing in the tray. Like I think that is something that kind of like that. But do I really want a man tattooed in my body?
I was thinking about Americuna with a cafecito or something that you drink every morning, like your desayuno. Maybe that's a good idea.
Or maybe my favorite aviso funebre.
Like a nuevo obituario.
So I love to read the obituaries if you didn't already know that about me. I love to go to these old bares viejes like La Rambla or Dos Escudos, and I like to read La Nación, and I go to the back and I always read the aviso funebres, and because I think it's a great like sociological, anthropological study. Not only do you know who's dying, which I think is important, but you get to see all the posh last names and like who's more popular, because like, you know, some people get like columns and columns and columns. Like
Bartolomé Mitre Mitre.
Yeah, and it's and then it's like it's always like Susu, Pupi, Cucu, Coco, like, you know, all these people who are like all the nicknames of the posh people saludándolos. And so maybe I would choose one of my favorite obituaries and tattoo it on.
That's the best idea ever. I think you know Porteño idiosyncrasy mm-hmm. well, but not the rest of the country agree.
Question mark. We always joke that this is, we say this Bad Info is a podcast federal. Like, we are not just Porteños, but the reality is yes, like, Dios está en dos partes, pero atiende en Buenos Aires. And so, like, I am very Porteña focused.
Yeah. You sound like a Porteña.
Sorry about it. I have been to other parts of Argentina. I've traveled quite a bit. Like, I think all the highlights. I mean, you know, I don't have like all the deep cuts. And I know like maybe certain jokes or things or whatever, but I definitely am floja in the more idiosyncratic parts of the provincia. So if you would like to educate me, I'm all ears and eyes.
Yeah. And I also think that not everyone in Argentina knows about every province and every city.
Yeah.
They're asking you just because you live here. But if you ask like any regular Porteño about El Norte, they will be like, Llamas.
Yeah, like Pumita. Like, yeah. I mean, we love Córdoba, we love Pritiao, we love El Potro, we love Las Sierras.
We love Bariloche.
We love Bariloche. Chocolate.
Name an Argentine train you hate. I remember you talked about this, like the big chunky platform.
The chunky shoes. There was a time, guys, and luckily it's over, I think, but it had a chokehold on us for several years. These shoes, these chunky platform shoes that were like bricks. Like, it was like a hazard. It was like a health hazard to be wearing
also
them.
Also dangerous, yes.
Dangerous. Like, you're going to roll your ankle. You're going to be, if you fall into the river, you're going to sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
And like, it's not a set, like, it does not, like, no te hace ningún favor, nena. Like, you have a, like, it
you
is
look
not,
like Frankenstein.
No te, el, like, elonga nada. Though that was like pretty bad, though. Like, in terms of like clothing trends, I think that was like one of my least favorites. I also, trends in general now, I'm kind of over. I mean, I'm over like the platito. Like everywhere you go, it's a platito and it's like burrata. You know, burrata, mortadela, pistacho. Okay, cool. We got it. Like, we get it. I think I'm over just like the kind of repetition. And then I remember there was a time when everyone seemed to be decorating their house in red, white, and black. And it was like Eco Cuero Capitone.
That's like 2005.
Bueno, that's vomitivo.
What about now? What's like the trend from like...
Nórdico. Well, everyone wants to have like, Nórdico entre comillas. Yeah. Like this
Sillas
whole like...
Sillas de ames.
Just like really, really... I think in general, I mean, this happens around the world, but I do find here it's a little bit more present. Like, something becomes popular and everyone has to jump on the trend. Like, it's very like collective. Like, no one wants to be left out. So it's like, you know, it's like it's too much, guys. Like, you discover your own taste, your own gustos. Like, just because everyone has the mueble nórdico de mierda de melamina del orto, you don't need to buy it.
But I also think that it's because when something becomes a trend, then companies find a way to make it cheaper, and that's why you feel like you're in trend, but it's only because it's cheaper and everyone's doing it, right?
Yeah,
because getting like the designer like chair,
yeah,
it's gonna cost you like 20 times like a regular.
Yeah, but I'd rather it's like this whole thing of like with like purses, let's say, right? Like, I can't afford a Chanel bag, but I have $250, and so I'm gonna buy a knockoff Chanel. I would just rather spend $250 on like a nice bag by another brand that's like the good quality. But I know that, you know, we all want to belong. So
if you had to leave Argentina tomorrow, where would you go?
I hope that's not like a premonition.
Well, who knows?
I don't know. That's a tough question because I thought about this because every day people are like, you know, ¿qué es acá y te gusta? Yeah. And it's like, would you ever leave? First of all, I really don't see myself. I mean, if I had to leave tomorrow for whatever, like emergency, I would probably, my first stop would be the U.S. to go home to see my parents and like, you know, regroup. I mean, okay. But like, gun to my head, where to go? That's a challenge because I've only really known my adult life here, right? Yeah. And so like, I don't see myself living in the U.S. I don't identify with what's happening at the political level, social level, economically. It's super challenging. Like, you know, I know that for some people it works for them and like, that's great. But like, I just don't like, I love to go home and visit. I love Trader Joe's, but like, I don't want to live in fear of like gun violence. And I also just like, don't want to have to work 500 hours a week to make, you know, whatever. So no importa. Like, love to visit, don't want to live. But then I think, like, okay, like, where in Europe, you know, like,
I can see you in Spain.
Yeah, like, I can see me, like, being my little wannabe Penelope Cruz. There was a time when my sister was living in Italy where I was like, you know, maybe we would like relocate and like be closer to her and her kids and maybe Madrid or something. I don't know. I mean, I actually like, I haven't explored enough. If I had like, if I didn't have to worry about money, I would move to Uruguay and I would live in José Ignacio and I would have like a house on the beach and I would just be like, I'm kind of ready to enter my like hermit era. And so I would like move to Uruguay where everything's just like chill and then I would like travel.
I was robbed recently in Puerto Madero. Do you have stories of being robbed in VA?
Touch wood. I've been pretty lucky. I'm like, I'm pretty paranoid and like pretty alert. Like I don't, I think like street smarts is like a good thing to have, right? So it's like, I mean, there's some things that are out of your control. Just like in any major city, you can't always like predict what's going to happen. And like, it's not always like you can't victim blame someone for being like robbed or mugged. You know, it's like, what were you wearing? But like, I also am not going to like sit on a corner with my laptop, my MacBook. Like some people, when people like in Palermo are like on their Macs, like in the street. And I'm just like, girl,
this is not Europe.
Like,
guys,
you're in danger. Like, why? Also, like, what is the point? I think that, so I like, I try to do a lot of like harm reduction or like risk mitigation. Like, I try to like avoid situations where maybe that would things would happen to me. But there have been a couple close calls. Probably the worst one when I was when I was walking back to my old apartment in Retiro. For context, I used to live next door to the French consulate, so there was always a Policía Federal like right across the street. You know, it made me feel safe. They were, I mean, they were kind of like, we're just here for the consulate, but I feel like there was at least like presencia policial. But one night walking home and it was like 10 or 10:30 on a Friday night, so it wasn't even that late, and there was some guy, like some fisura, who I was with Jose and Pocho, who's off leash, and he just walked up to us and he had a box cutter, like he was like holding it to his chest and he was like, hola. Like he wasn't like, you had to like listen to what he was saying to realize that he was trying, and he was like, no me das toda la plata. And I remember, and Jose had said, he was like, if anything ever happens, like let me deal with it. You just walk away. Like, you like get away and I will handle it. And I was like, okay. And so luckily I remembered that. And I just kind of kept going. We were like literally like 20 meters from my door. And so I just kept going and I had Pocho, but he was off leash. And so I was like, Pocho, come with me. And I just remember running. And luckily, I mean, we had a doorman. So like he opened the door. And I like ran in and it was like waiting for Jose to come back. And I was like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And he appeared. And I remember I just had like full panic attack after that, because I was like, oh my God, like, because the guy had a weapon, you know, I mean, it was like scary. Luckily, nothing happened. Like, he didn't get anything. And then another time I was at Pacifico, so like Santa Fe and Juan B. Justo, which is like obviously like janky, but it was like a Sunday afternoon. I was chatting with a friend, like waiting to get a cab, and some kid comes up to me, like a little kid, and he looked like he was like high on glue, and he had his hand like in his jacket, you know, like he was maybe like hiding a weapon or not, and he was like, esto no es un robo, esto no es un robo, no tienes una moneda, and I was like, no tengo nada, because if I have something like a mano, I'll give you like a billete just to like get you out of my face, and he was like, dame la moneda, and I was like, I don't have moneda, and he was like, dame la cartera, y se lanzó encima. He like threw himself on me, but he was a kid, and I literally just went into fight or flight mode and I sprinted into traffic. I ran across Santa Fe,
oh my gosh,
Sunday at midday, and just ran, didn't get hit by a bus like de casualidad, and then like was on the side of the street and like left my poor friend, like I was like, ciao. And then I was just like shaking like a leaf, and bueno, no me pasó nada. See, so I don't know, I mean, sometimes I think that I've been lucky so far.
¿Cómo te sentís cuando vas de visita a USA?
That's a good question. I mean, when I go home, it's funny because when I have like my travelers, they'll be like, "Do you, you know, what do you miss about home?" And I'm like, obviously my parents, but I'm like, Trader Joe's, like, you know, being able to drive places. I mean, things that are like totally material and like not like important, or things that I can solve on a trip, you know, like on a go visit, like I kind of scratch that itch. So it's like when I go home, I definitely feel like I don't fit in. And I always say this, kind of like, I'm very mindful to be like, it's not that it's like better or worse, because it's like dependent on everyone, but like I just don't, like, no me asho, you know what I mean? Like, I just, right. I feel like I don't fit in anymore, and catching up with people where it's like so scripted and very like, how are you? Cool. How are you? Like, just that kind of stuff. Like, no ranchean. And kind of just feeling like everyone's in this like up their own butt, which, I mean, everyone here's up their own butt, but it's like a different way. I don't know. I feel like people here are like more curious and open. I think that like a lot of people at home just act like, you know, they think that nothing else out beyond their reality is like important, These are generalizations, of course, but, you know, like just sort of a feeling. So I go home and like, I love the creature comforts. I love going to my house. I love doing laundry and having a dryer and driving a car and like going to the grocery store and having all the things. And, you know, like even though Jeff Bezos is evil as hell, like Amazon and like,
the
you
capitalism,
know,
yeah.
Buying stuff online. Yeah. I mean, all that kind of consumismo is really nice, but now that it's so much more expensive, it's like, woof. But I also am like scared. Like I go home and I'm like really afraid of gun violence. Like, I mean, that's just a fact. Like when I go to the movies, I'm like scared to go to the movies. Yeah. Like I still go, but I'm like, where is there an exit? Like what? And like, whereas here I'm just like, la la la. And so it's like, I'm just, I don't know. It's like, I love going back to visit and again, to like kind of scratch that itch. But I'm always reminded of like why I'm so happy to live in Argentina and just like, you know, I like to see the people that I want to see and that's it. But like the rest is kind of give or, you know, leave, take it or leave it.
Do you know Corrientes? If not, you should.
Avenida Corrientes or la ciudad de Corrientes or la provincia?
The province.
Well, the province. I actually have not been to Corrientes and we have a friend. We have an iconic Correntina.
Do we?
Luli Gemini. She's
know
Correntina. So if anything, I would like to go on like a personalized tour with Luli to Corrientes because I feel like that would be like... life-changing.
Iconic, yes.
It would be iconic. I know Misiones, but I don't know Corrientes, and I would love to. So if anyone wants to
recommend things,
put together a trip.
Yeah.
You buy, I fly.
Any plans to make documentaries in Argentina?
Do I look like a documentarian?
You look like a doctor.
I look like an art teacher. I look like a doctor. I look like a lot of things. I look like Elizabeth Holmes. No, but a documentary is one of my favorite genres. So, yeah. I mean, I would watch, I love documentaries. So if anyone wants to make more documentaries about Argentina, I'm all for it, but no.
How do you view international reporting on Argentina in general?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like my initial sort of like gut reaction is like, we need to stop with like the don't cry for me. Like they're trying to look for like the you know,
and
like they just love to look for like those kinds of hooks to like get, you know,
now we have Messi, so maybe
but it's like such a low hanging fruit. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, guys, like do better. I think, I don't know. It depends obviously on what media you're reading because like, you know, like my dad loves to send me like scanned, cut out newspaper articles from the Wall Street Journal. But talking about how like, it's like such doom and gloom, you know, like Argentina, like the inflation is so bad. And I think that a lot of publications enjoy, I mean, I don't know if it's kind of like torture porn, but you know what I mean? It's like this, I feel like they do kind of get this, like they get off on like watching Argentina suffer, yeah. Like in a way, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the reporting is kind of like, no one knows how this place is still standing yet. Here they are, even though they have 12,000% inflation and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, they're plagued by problems. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, thanks. Love you too. I don't know. I think that, like, I think that the cultural reporting is really good, you know, in terms of like what's happening and trying to find like, you know, like up and coming movidas, whether it's like food related or with wine and art. And like, I think that's pretty good. But when it comes to like politics and economy, I just think it's like, it's lazy.
Talking about that, I think we already talked about this on the gentrification episode, but like, what about people that come to Argentina and say like, they're a third world country and they have... free healthcare or something.
Oh yeah, people like love to be like, oh my god, like you have paved roads. And it's like, okay, I will say a lot of people I went to school with when I was coming abroad, like kids who got into BC, like did not know that Argentina was a country. They didn't know where it was located. And it's kind of like, okay, you don't get to have an opinion if you don't even know where it is on a map.
I used to work at a call center and people thought that Argentina was either Brazil,
mm-hmm,
or
which is like so offensive if you know anything about Brazil Argentina like rivalry,
or they were like, where in the U.S.? Like, they didn't even like heard about Argentina.
They don't even know. Like, they can't conceive of anything outside of the United States.
That's, like, so weird.
I mean, I think that, like, I get really protective over Argentina. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, I've earned my right to, you know, pick at it and complain about things because I live here. And, like, I think it's like you can make a joke about your mom, but your friend can't make a joke about your mom, you know, yeah, obviously. And I think that's, like, a perfect sort of way of understanding it. And I get really upset, though, especially now with, like, the economy getting just the way that it is. People coming here and being like, oh, my God, it's, like, so cheap. Or, like, the people on Twitter who post these photos of, like, at Don Julio. And it's, like... all the pesos on the, you know, like the stacks of pesos.
Oh, I
like,
hate those tweets.
Lunch for four bottles of wine, tons of meat, $30, but look at all the pesos. It's like, you know what, like this comes at a cost to so a lot of people. And like, yeah. I'm really glad that for you, you get to feel like powerful and important, but like you need, like, this isn't an ego boost for you. And it's, I just think that like, it goes back to my aim of like conscientious travel. Like if you're going to go somewhere, like go wherever you want, like travel the world, see it. I love it. Like that's, I think what's beautiful about the world we live in today, but like have some modicum of like understanding of where you're going. And like, I think Americans just like pecan mucho de esto. Like it's, I mean, maybe, and you know, it's like, or maybe Brazilians too, where they just love to like, it's like, like at our expense, yeah. It's like they're making their experience. And I just think that like, that is cringe to me.
Yeah. I feel like they're like, they have good things, but they're so poor. Look at them with their free healthcare, but it's so cheap for us.
It's, yeah. Like, or like, on, yeah, dude. Like laughing. Yeah. Like the, like that kid on TikTok who was like, this would be $3,000 in my country, but it was totally free. But then he was like, let's see tomorrow if I have an extra arm or like I grew another head. It's like, okay, you just got free healthcare. No, yeah. Questions asked. And now you're going to like question its legitimacy. Like pick a side, bro.
What's the song of Buenos Aires?
I don't know. Part of me wants to choose like a Rage Against the Machine songs. I mean, they'll kind of like depicts like full chaos, you know, like piquetes, cultura, sangre, like that kind of whole like insanity, but also like really political. Cause I think that you really can't, you can't separate politics from Argentina or Buenos Aires. And that's what I love about it because it's like so central to his identity. So I think it has to have kind of a political slant, or it would be like Rafael thing, like I don't know, something like fun Italian pop. Yeah. But
I was thinking about like the most obvious answer, which is La Ciudad de la Furia. So
well, okay, La Ciudad de la Furia is fabulous, and like Música Ligera, I mean, Soda Stereo is like so amazing. And actually I'm really bummed because when I was here in 2007 when they did their farewell shows and stuff. And I was here and I had friends who were going and I was like just visiting. So I didn't have tickets. La Ciudad de la Furia is incredible. But when I think of Música Ligera, it feels more Buenos Aires to me. And what about Miranda?
I was going to ask you because no one asked which Argentine musicians do you listen to? Like bands?
I learned Spanish. I learned Argentine Spanish by listening to a lot of Andrés Calamaro.
Okay.
And Babasónicos.
And you don't do coke. That's weird.
Yeah, I apparently missed that memo. I actually met the singer Babasónicos at Volta on Libertador. And I have a photo of him. He's a very tiny man.
I ran into Jacobo Winograd on Volta.
Oh my God. Celeb spot. Hot spot. I do love Babasónicos. I love Julieta Venegas. I know she's not Argentine, but she lives here now. She lives here, That counts. I love Soda Stereo. I've gotten into... I didn't like listen to a lot of like rock nacional, things like that. Like I love Flaco Spinetta, things like that. But like, I think it is one of my grandes pendientes to get a little more like to listen a little more a fondo to like the sort of most iconic artists. But I feel like I love Calamaro because I have, le tengo cariño. Cause again, I was like learning Spanish and listening to a lot of Calamaro and Babasónicos. And then of course, Soda.
Were you a dinosaur or a space kid growing up? You already said that you wanted to be a veterinarian.
I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I was kind of, remember, like, didn't we all go through like an Egypt phase?
Yeah, I was. But you know
what? We were Egypt kids.
Did you, there's the meme that says, if you were an Egypt kid, you're queer. And I was so into Egypt when I was younger.
I had this whole book that had like beads to make jewelry, and it was like Egyptian jewelry. I was an Egypt girl.
It was written
in the stars. I'm gay from the gay from the beginning.
¿Te has planteado irte de Argentina para siempre si gana la peluca?
The fracking, la peluca. You know, this is something that actually is like concerning because I do have this like, la peluca is Javier Milei. For people who don't know, he's the libertarian candidate for president, and he's terrifying and very popular, which is even more terrifying. I like have not forgotten how traumatizing 2016 was when Trump won the election. You know, I was living here, obviously, but again, it's this like, you know, consumo irónico. Everyone been like, haha, this guy's so funny, he's so weird, let's like share his videos because he's like so insane. But then like that comes with a consequence, and you can't give people like that a platform, and you can't give them visibility, because then look what happens. And then I'll never forget, well, the day after the election, and I went into the office and I was crying and I was the only American, and everyone looked at me like sort of like, what do you think, what's gonna happen? And I was just like, don't talk to me. Like, this is, because I knew, like, as a woman queer woman, not knowing I was queer yet, but, you know, I knew that this was going to be bad. And what really pissed me off was people being like, it's not going to be that bad. He's not going to do that much stuff. And you know what? Yeah, it was really bad. Because even if, you know, even if you think, depending on what your metrics are, this is a person who like opened the floodgates for hateful discourse and discrimination and fully bonkers insanity, just to like kind of say it in a very like encompassing way, who literally encouraged a coup. I mean, storming the Capitol, like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. And so even if he goes away forever, which isn't going to happen, it was a momento bisagra, and I don't take that lightly. So I always loved living in Argentina because I felt safe in so many ways. It's so progressive. You know, obviously no place is perfect, but in terms of like social values, progressive values, you know, queer friendliness, women's rights. I mean, again, I know we legalized abortion relatively recently, but still like just feeling like, okay, I'm in a place where like who I am and what I care about matters. And like with violence and things like that, like gun violence, like I always talk about now, apparently it's like my new platform, but being like, wow, I don't have to worry about mass shootings in Argentina. And now we have a candidate who's like, we should have more access to guns. No. And I was like, I was like, this is great. Argentina like doesn't have this problem. And I don't think that maybe that won't change like overnight. And I think that it's because it's like it's sort of a deeper issue in terms of like freedom. When we think of the Americans being like, I don't know, like don't tread on me and that stupid fucking bullshit. Sorry. After the paso, after the primaries, I kind of was like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? Like, what do we do? Like, it's scary to think. I mean, there are people in the United States, like in certain states, like in Florida, who are actively making like emergency plans to leave because legislation is going after them and their rights and their safety. And so, you know, I'm not going to go into crisis mode yet because I don't think that's productive, but I am... Unfortunately, I don't have the privilege of not caring. So I guess it's like, you know, I don't know. Things would, I think, would have to get pretty bad for me to leave Argentina. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I want to hope that people, or I want to believe that here we still care enough about like our still relatively young democracy to fight for it. So quiero creer que eso nos va a salvar. But
related to that question, Milei, Bullrich, Massa, or none?
This is where I'm like really happy that I can't vote in the presidential elections, because I'm a firm believer. Let me just say right now, like everything is political. Existence is political. I'm not being like, let's not talk about politics. Like I'm not saying that at all.
You are Argentinian now. So
I am like fully, and like every, like my being here is political. So I don't take that lightly, but I really, like if I had to choose between those three candidates, I don't know. I think this is where I say, you know, it's like, I am not from here. I didn't grow up here. I didn't have a family who lost everything in 2001, or I didn't have, you know, like I don't have the, no cargo con el legado of like, for better or for worse, of a lot of things, right? So if I had to choose between those three, I mean, obviously Milei, I would like send off onto a boat into the wilderness or wherever, to the great beyond, and I would blow it up and I wouldn't even feel bad about it, because people like him don't deserve to have a platform or don't even deserve to breathe the same air as us. Bullrich, I mean, I'll drink wine with her, but I won't go to her peluqueras.
So does she drink like good wine? Because I never saw the bottle. I don't know.
I mean, like, I think I don't want to say she's like harmless, because she's not at all. But like, you know, I can't see myself voting for her. It seems like out of the three, Massa kind of seems like the person who is the most like capable. The least worst, right? So like, if I have to choose of those three today, and I will also recognize that I have been consuming as little news as possible. So I will say also that like, I am not like super up to date on everyone's detailed platform. So like also, so I want to, it's not like I'm like, you know, this is a vote like that. If I actually had to vote here, I would be doing my research like for real. But I don't know, man. I mean, this feels bleak. This feels like, I mean, I think the past few elections have kind of been like, but what worries me is that there are some people who would literally rather be dead than vote for a peronista.
Yeah.
So they'll vote for like a flipping insane person just to like keep their own integrity intact. And I'm like, that's where it's like, you have to think of beyond your own convictions. Like you have to think of what's maybe trying to go for the best. But like, this is a cursed question.
It is.
I regret everything I just said.
Really looking forward to like read the comments on this video.
I'm not at all, because everyone's gonna like beat me alive. I don't know, guys. Like, I don't know.
No one knows.
I don't know.
Last three questions. Did you know Argentina existed before you came? And I thought it was like a little bit offensive, but then I remembered I worked at a call center and they were like, where's that, Brazil?
Yeah. I did, because one of the reasons I chose Argentina to study abroad was because I had friends of friends who were Argentine, and they were like deeply chic and very attractive people. And they were like, you'll love Buenos Aires. And so I knew about it. And I mean, I love geography, so like I already knew where it was, just like, I love maps. Sorry, I do. It's like I was a map kid. That's like a good gay thing too. I guess I didn't know much more. I mean, I can't remember what I was like when I was 20 years old, but I definitely like knew that it existed. And I remember I remember reading articles about Buenos Aires and sort of this like how it was like edgy and obviously Latin American, but had this sort of a European sensibility, blah, bullshit.
Was it true?
as you caress
as
your
I
bangs
comb my hair,
was it true? I think when I first got here it does. I mean, it has that, it's so seductive, you know. I mean, it is, it's like, it's edgy, it's gritty, but it's glamorous and it's
dangerous.
It's like the toxic girlfriend or boyfriend that you never wanted but can't get enough of. I hate the like trope of Paris of South America. I think that's, again, lazy. I think there's a lot of lazy reporting.
Paris of South America. Wow.
Well, I mean, we do love to protest here too. We like to burn trash, and the buildings are pretty, but like
we
that.
We smell better. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, fully. That Latin Americans shower so much more than Europeans.
I just showered today before you came, just for
they
you.
Tocaba.
You're welcome.
But I feel like you have very clean butts.
Yeah. So the last question is, why did you come to Argentina in the first place? Because this is the Paris of
Vi luz y entré. So I came here to study abroad in 2007, and I chose Buenos Aires because at my university the three options were Quito in Ecuador, Madrid in Spain, or here. And I had been to Ecuador for like a service trip in high school, and I liked it, but I kind of knew like I'm not going to be able to live like how I want to live for 6 months, like in terms of like safety and just like, you know, just different country, different context. And I didn't want to go to Spain because like everyone was going to Spain and I'm different.
She's different.
She's
muy
edgy.
Diferente.
Es una chica diferente. And I just was like, but I was like, I wanted to come back being bilingual. So I was like, I have to go somewhere that's going to force me to speak Spanish. And BA was that option. I had these friends of friends who were like, you're going to love it. And so I ended up coming here for 6 months and like just fully fell in love with everything and just couldn't get enough. And then after I graduated in 2008, the year of, you know, financial collapse of the housing market in the United States, not a great time to be looking for a job, especially with a philosophy degree. I'm like such a cheek up one. Is she? And I decided to come back and just sort of like try my luck and see what was going to happen, and never left.
So this was in 2007. So that's like 15 years ago.
I'm a quinceañera.
You're a quinceañera. So a lot of things happened since 2007, which you didn't expect at all.
Yeah.
If you had like a wish for things to come in the next 15 years, what those things would be?
Like from now to 15 years? Like for me or for Argentina?
For you.
Well, I would like to, I feel really proud of all the things that I've accomplished. Like I feel proud of like the stuff that I've done in terms of work and just like personal accomplishments and like interesting fun things and blah, 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 blah. But I would like to make more money.
Don't we all?
Quiero que, como dice Charlotte Canija, quiero que baje el dólar. I would appreciate maybe a little, I would appreciate financial compensation that reflects my abilities and my accomplishments.
Yeah.
I think everyone can relate to that, right? So I would like to feel though, like, I think that we're in this cursed generation of like, we will never surpass our parents, like, you know, in the sense of like,
yeah. I mean, you surprise your parents.
No, surpassed.
Oh, surpassed.
Yeah, I surprise them. Imagine me calling my mom on FaceTime, be like, Mom, I have something to tell you. She was like, oh my God. That's a whole other story for a whole other day. This is going to be behind like a paywall. Like if you want like the details of like
Patreon.
How I knew I was gay and the fallout of that, you got to pay for it, baby. Ya tú sabes. But I think, you know, but it is that stressful feeling of like, okay, like, you know, I'm 30, I'm going to be 37 and life is good. I know I'm not going to have kids. I don't want to have kids, but like, will I ever be able to buy a house? Like, will I be able to afford property? Like, I'm not saying I want like a terreno enorme, but like maybe to buy a nice little something with character that I can, I don't know, make my own. I would love that. I'm going to, reaching for the stars, because we're going to manifest this shit. I want to be like Graham Norton. Like, I want to have a TV show. I want to have a show where it's like me, like right now, like sitting around having some wine, interviewing really funny people, having them tell stories and just be like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to be, I think I'm funny. I think I'm charismatic. You're looking at your phone, so I must be engaging.
You're very charismatic.
And I think that, like, I want to be discovered. I want someone to come and say, I have money. I'm going to, te voy a poner un programa. Like, I'm going to do it for you. Like, because it happens to people with a lot less talent and a lot less charisma. So it has to happen for me eventually, right? Like, maybe, no? Bueller? Anyone out there? But, you know, I think it would be fun to explore this and take it something, you know, take it greater. And I don't know. I mean, next 15 years, it's like 37 to 15. I just want to be able to travel more. I think that still, like, post COVID, like, I haven't, you know, I want to, like, I want to have enough money to travel and enjoy it. And I want to go all over the world. I still want to see a lot of places. Living here has been great, but it's meant that I've missed out on, like, maybe being able to go other, you know, cause it's just so geographically far away. So I think I would like to be able to have the chance to, like, take those trips that I've dreamt about since I was little. And I want to pet more dogs. And I want to have a really nice jewelry collection.
Don't we all? last question. This is, I just made this up. I always quote this tweet that says something like, it's not verbatim, but it says, like, remember the first time you saw a queer person be themselves? That person inspired you to be yourself, and you are that person to someone. Aww. What would you say to that person you're inspiring right now?
Is this like Miss America?
Yes.
That was beautiful. I think that I would say it's never too late. Because, I mean, I know I'm still young, but again, like, my life seemed so encaminada. It's never too late to pursue your truth and to prioritize your happiness and your authenticity. And I would say that it's really important to, like, find your people and find your tribe find your angle first, then find your tribe. But I think that it's also, yeah, to see people who are like you, and that you can, it gets better.
It gets better.
It gets marginally, maybe a little bit better. No, but in the sense of, like, there is so, I'm a kind of person who, like I said before, I like to be in control. I like to know what's happening. I like to predict things. And this was, like, the biggest leap of faith I think I ever took. And, you know, just because it's unknown doesn't mean it's going to be worse. If anything, it's going to be better, and better than you could have ever imagined. So, like, you owe it to yourself to open that door, because you deserve all of that unknown joy. And it is so good on the other side that, like, everything else just kind of falls away.
It also falls apart.
But it falls away. That ruined my moment. But just be gay, because it's better. It is. And if you're struggling with your sexuality, please call me and we can talk through it.
Yeah,
but I think that I wish I had had more representation and more visibility. I wish I had seen more women like me.
No.
Because it would have made me just feel like, again, like, I wasn't alone, and it would have opened my eyes to things I didn't even know existed. So seek out people like you and people not like you, and ask questions and watch weird movies and read books and be gay.
And go to La Marcha de la Rusa, because maybe it's the last one.
Oh my God. Let's enjoy being gay, because we have 2 months left.
Later it's illegal.
Yeah, I'll see you in November.
Okay, so this time I'm in front of a camera. What do you have to do when you finish a podcast?
Oh my God.
God damn it.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Bad Information. Please follow, like, subscribe, comment on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, all the other social media platforms that don't exist yet. But please, 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 please follow us on everything. And please, yeah, interact and, like, do your little beepity boppity boobities, because it boosts my ego, and it also makes it easier for people to, like, give me money. And speaking of money, if you would like to support the podcast, because we're gay and we're poor, you can send us some cafecitos, and it's much appreciated, because this is a labor of love. Pero amor no paga las cuentas, baby. So please send us cafecitos. Send me little memes on Instagram. And just make sure you're following along, because if you don't, I'm never talking to you again. Love you. Miss you. Want to kiss you. And see you on the flip side. Bye.
This episode of Bad Information was recorded at Estudios Nievi in the charmingly chaotic neighborhood of Villa Crespo in Buenos Aires, Argentina.